Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
We begin with a story about U.S. President Barack Obama's first trip as president to a Muslim religious center. Dorothy Gundy has more.
President Barack Obama visited a Muslim religious center in the United States for the first time as president on Wednesday. "We're one American family," Obama said during his meeting with Muslim Americans at the Islamic Society of Baltimore in the eastern state of Maryland. He said too often Americans link the Muslim religion Islam with terrorism and blame the entire Muslim community for the violent acts of a few. Obama spoke about the contributions Muslims have made to American society. He said, "Muslim Americans keep us safe. They are our police. They are our firefighters. They're in the Department of Homeland Security." And he said, "Inexcusable political rhetoric against Muslims has no place in this country." Obama has visited mosques in other countries, but never in the United States. His visit took place during an election campaign in which Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump called for a temporary ban on new Muslim immigrants. Many Republicans, including U.S. Senator John McCain and presidential candidate Jeb Bush, condemned Trump's plan. But Ben Carson, another Republican presidential candidate, said a Muslim should not be permitted to serve as president. Obama has not directly answered the comments about Muslims from the Republican candidates, but he has criticized anti-Muslim statements. In his final State of the Union address last month, Obama asked Americans to reject any politics that target people because of race or religion. "When politicians insult Muslims, whether abroad or our fellow citizens, when a mosque is vandalized or a kid is called names, that doesn't make us safer." Muslim American groups have been asking Obama to visit a mosque in the United States for some time. They asked again after threats and attacks on Muslims last December. The Islamic Society of Baltimore has received such threats. Police have increased security at the building, which includes a place for religious study, a health clinic, and a school. It was started 47 years ago and has thousands of members. President Obama has said it is important for the federal government to work with Muslim American leaders to help fight attempts by extremists like the Islamic State terrorist group to radicalize Muslims in the U.S. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
South Korea and Japan joined the United States Wednesday in urging North Korea to cancel plans to send a long-range rocket into space. Christopher Jones Cruz reports.
Japan and South Korea say the launch would violate United Nations resolutions. Those measures bar North Korea from developing nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. Such a missile can travel over a great distance, falls to the ground, and then explodes. North Korea told UN agencies on Tuesday that it planned to launch what it called an Earth observation satellite between February 8th and the 25th. The Japan Times newspaper reported that the launch may take place around February 16th. That is the birth anniversary of former North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. He was the father of current leader Kim Jong-un. North Korea says it has a right to launch rockets as part of its space program. But Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and other American allies have criticized the program. They say it is a way for North Korea to avoid UN restrictions on weapons development. Abe called the North's missile tests an obvious violation of Security Council decisions. He told Japanese lawmakers that the launch would be a grave, provocative act against the security of our country. On Wednesday, Japan's defense ministry ordered its ballistic missile defense units to be ready to shoot down any North Korean rocket that threatened the country. The Japan Times reported that observers expect the missile to fly over two small Japanese islands. Experts say it is not likely that American or South Korean forces would attack the missile before it is launched. South Korea warned the North not to launch another missile. Cho Tae-yong is a security official in the office of the South Korean president. He said, "We strongly warn that the North will pay a severe price if it goes ahead with the long-range missile launch plan, which is a grave threat to peace not only in the Korean Peninsula, but also this region and around the world." On Wednesday, China said it was concerned about reports that North Korea was planning a missile launch this month. A Chinese foreign ministry official said China has called on the North to exercise restraint. The United States and China agree that the UN should approve a strong resolution against North Korea. But they do not agree on how the North should be punished. They also remain divided over the level of severity the punitive measures should take. The U.S. is considering sanctions against the North. These measures would target companies and banks that operate in North Korea. Many of them are based in China. If these sanctions are put in place, they would likely increase tensions between the United States and China. An Chan-il lived in North Korea until he defected. He is now an expert on the North at the World Institute for North Korean Studies in Seoul. He said there is little the U.S., Japan, and South Korea can do other than releasing statements criticizing the North for its plan to launch a missile this month. Experts believe the planned rocket launch is part of North Korea's program to develop nuclear missiles. They believe the North has more than 1,000 missiles that can reach targets in South Korea and Japan, and enough plutonium to make 8 to 12 nuclear bombs. Last year, American military officials said they believe North Korea can make a nuclear weapon small enough to be placed on a long-range missile. North Korea has not yet shown that it can do so, however. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Officials in the southwestern state of Texas have reported what may be the first case of the Zika virus being transmitted in the United States by sexual contact. Ana Mateo has more on the story.
On Tuesday, health officials in Dallas County said the person became infected after having sexual contact with a person who had returned from Venezuela. Venezuela is a country where the virus is present. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the federal U.S. health agency, confirmed the infection in an email to VOA. The CDC wrote that it confirmed through laboratory testing the first U.S. case of Zika virus infection in a non-traveler in the continental United States. On its website, the CDC notes Zika virus is transmitted to people primarily through the bite of an infected Aedes species mosquito. But it says the spread of the virus through blood transfusion and sexual contact have been reported. Last year, French scientists reported the virus was found in the semen of a patient during the 2013 Zika virus outbreak in French Polynesia. This supports the possibility that the virus can be transmitted sexually. Dr. Tom Frieden is the head of the CDC. He also sent out tweets to confirm the infection. Brazil reported the first case of Zika virus in this latest outbreak in May 2015. Since then, the virus has spread by mosquitoes and has caused infections in Brazil, many Latin American countries, and the United States. With the Summer Olympics taking place later this year, Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff said her government would spend whatever is necessary to kill the kind of mosquitoes that carry the virus. In a speech, she said, "My entire government is working on fighting this emergency. There will be no lack of funding, and I'm certain that I will be able to count on the Congress's support." She said she has spoken with President Barack Obama about the virus. She said Brazil will work with the U.S. government to establish our capacity and improve it in order to develop as quickly as possible a vaccine for the Zika virus. On Monday, the World Health Organization declared the Zika virus a global public health emergency. It says 4 million people could be infected by the end of the year. The health agency called for more international resources to fight the spread of Zika, but ruled out a ban on traveling or trade. And the International Red Cross is calling for $2.3 million in emergency money to fight Zika in Latin America. I'm Ana Mateo.
At the beginning of 2016, a new law went into effect in Texas. The law permits a gun owner with a concealed weapon license to carry a gun openly in public. The new law is being both supported and protested throughout the state. Stores, markets, and restaurants have the right to ban guns on their property. But some business owners are supporting the new law by offering special deals to people who openly carry their guns. Restaurant owner Trent Brooks believes legal gun owners help prevent crime. He offers a 10% reduction in the cost of food to customers who wear guns into his restaurant. However, Brooks told VOA News that the new law has led some people to stop eating at his restaurant. Brooks said, "We have people who say they are not coming back. We have people who say they are not going to support us, and that is their choice." Gun rights supporters have held meetings around Texas to celebrate the new law. But many gun owners said the new law has resulted in more gun bans on private property. Some businesses have posted legal written notices to ban guns. Kroger is one of America's largest groups of food stores. It has over 220 stores in Texas alone. The company has not banned the carrying of handguns in its Texas stores. A parent named Mandy said she would be uneasy shopping in a store where guns are permitted. "I would not feel comfortable with my kids being around it," she said. Close to 945,000 Texans have handgun permits and are affected by the new law. In August, openly carrying guns will become permissible at state colleges and universities. This is As It Is from VOA Learning English. Next, Kathleen Strzok tells us about some useful tools to use with the electronic mail program, Gmail.
If you use Gmail, Google's email program, you should know about the many tools to help you make the most of your email. Sure, you could use the Google-based email service and do just fine without any special functions. But with Gmail, users can get useful tools that can help in different ways. The Undo Send function is a very useful setting if you are human. People make mistakes, and Undo Send can help save you from your mistakes. This function lets you change your mind about an email you just sent. It gives you the power to cancel an email up to 30 seconds after you send it. This can help if you forgot to include an attachment, catch a mistake, or change your mind about sending the message. You just click Undo Send to prevent the message from being sent. To set up Undo Send, you first hit the gear icon on your Gmail page and then go to Settings. Click on the box next to Undo Send to enable the feature. You can set the time period for using Undo Send from anywhere between 5 and 30 seconds. Click Save Changes at the bottom of the page to save your settings. Have you ever wondered if an email you sent has been opened by the person you sent it to? A service called Sidekick will tell you where, when, and how your email has been opened. You can use Sidekick to learn when a message was opened, how many times it has been opened, where it was opened, and whether it was opened on a computer or mobile device. When you use Sidekick, a checkbox at the bottom of your message allows you to track the message. When the message is opened, you will get a notice telling you information about how and when it was opened. You can receive this information on your computer with a Chrome extension and on your phone through the Sidekick app. A service called Boomerang helps you schedule your emails. Let's say it is late Sunday and you want to send an email, but you do not want it to get lost first thing Monday morning in someone's inbox. You think it would be better to wait until Tuesday morning to send the email. But you are afraid you will forget to send it by then. Or perhaps someone sends you an important email on a Friday and would like you to answer it on Monday. You worry that if you wait, that email will be lost and forgotten by the time Monday arrives. Boomerang lets you control when you send emails and when they appear in your inbox. When you use Boomerang, you will see a Send Later button in Gmail. Click on the button to set when you want your email to arrive. You can schedule emails for birthdays, important meetings, or any other event. Inboxes can get filled so quickly with subscription emails. Every store, service, and website wants you to sign up so they can send you emails about special deals, updates, and more. Important emails may be buried among all of your subscriptions. Unroll.me helps you control your inbox by providing a daily list of your subscription emails called the Roll-Up. You can also use Unroll.me to stop any emails you no longer want to receive. Create your email signature with YStamp, a service that lets you add a personal touch to your messages. You can add photographs, contact information, and links to your social media accounts to get more followers. While Sidekick lets you follow the emails you send, Ugly Mail shows you which emails in your inbox are being tracked by the sender. When you open those emails, the sender will know that they have been opened. You will see an evil eye next to the emails that are being tracked by the sender. Ugly Mail currently works to show emails being tracked by the following services: Streak, Yesware, Mandrill, MailChimp, Postmark, Tiny Letter, Sidekick, MixMax, and Bananatog. More tracking services will be covered in the future. Note that Ugly Mail does not block the tracking. It only shows you that an email is being tracked by the sender. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
This is what's trending today. This weekend is Super Bowl Sunday. Two teams will play for the championship of American football. The Carolina Panthers and Denver Broncos are busy preparing for Super Bowl 50. The game will be played at Levi's Stadium, a newly built sports center in Santa Clara, California. But on social media today, tweets and posts were directed at another bowl game, the Puppy Bowl. The Animal Planet television channel created the Puppy Bowl in 2005. The TV program shows puppies on a small field similar to a football field. The young animals play with the football, and announcers describe their actions, just like in a real American football game. The Puppy Bowl is set to be broadcast on Animal Planet this Sunday. The Puppy Bowl is an alternative to the real Super Bowl. It is for people who do not like watching American football. On Wednesday, Animal Planet announced the starting lineup for the 2016 Puppy Bowl. 50 puppies will play in the game. They are from animal shelters and are available for adoption. Each one is in need of a good home. On Twitter and Facebook Wednesday, people commented about their favorite puppies and made predictions for this year's Puppy Bowl. Puppy Bowl was even a trending sports topic on Facebook. The only concern? Puppy football lasts only one game and not a full season like American football. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedell.
We end today's program with a report on a new biographical film about slave rebellion leader Nat Turner. Jill Robbins has more.
The new movie, The Birth of a Nation, was a long time in creation. Nate Parker stars in and directed the movie. But he also wrote the screenplay, and it took him 7 years. The film created a buzz at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. It tells the story of Nat Turner, a slave who grew up to lead a rebellion in the state of Virginia in 1831. As a child, Nat Turner learns to read and becomes a religious leader in Virginia. His owners think his preaching will lead other slaves to become more obedient. So they send Turner to nearby farms to preach to the slaves. But instead, Turner urges them to rebel against their owners. The rebellion left 60 slave owners and hundreds of slaves dead. Nate Parker said, "The film looks at the roots of issues that African Americans still have to deal with."
You know, my job as a filmmaker is to create content, to seek out material, to develop material that I think will help be progressive and deal with some of the systemic issues that we're dealing with.
Armie Hammer plays Nat Turner's owner, Samuel Turner. He said that Nate Parker ran the movie set like a longtime director. Yet it was his first film as director.
He walked on the set with the confidence and skill and ability of someone who's directed 50 movies before.
The Sundance Film Festival honored The Birth of a Nation with the Grand Jury Prize and the Audience Award for American Dramatic Productions. The film has the same name as a famously racist 1915 movie by D.W. Griffith. That movie showed the white extremist Ku Klux Klan in a good light, while African Americans were shown as immoral and dangerous. Nate Parker told Vulture.com that it was critical he use the same title. He said the earlier Birth of a Nation persuaded millions of Americans that for their survival, they needed to oppress an entire people. Parker said, "Now Birth of a Nation honors Nat Turner." He describes the rebel leader as one of the bravest revolutionaries in U.S. history. Hollywood has been criticized for the lack of black actors among Academy Award nominees for the second year. Parker said, "The Oscars issue is just a sign of a much wider problem."
I think the sickness is the fact that there is a level of racism that exists not only in society, obviously, but in Hollywood. The legacy of slavery and the legacy of injury that we've endured, we want to be a change factor with this film.
Birth of a Nation co-star Armie Hammer said Parker's interest in the movie carried the cast and crew members through some difficult filming.
You could feel his passion bleeding out of him while we were doing this. Everybody else would be getting tired. Everybody else would be uncomfortable with the subject matter. But he would be there, unwavering, just the perfect leader for the project, really.
The Birth of a Nation was shot in 27 days for about $10 million. Fox Searchlight Pictures has paid $17.5 million for the rights to the film. That is a near record for film festival deals. I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.